Today's Mishnah and Masechet Idiot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Hamishi, Mishnah Beit. So remember, we had in the Perek Revi'i 23 different machlokas, and where everybody agreed that Beit Shammai was Lekula uncharacteristically and Beit Hillel was Lechumra uncharacteristically. Yesterday we saw that Rabbi Yehuda, he had his own addition to all of that, and he said, you didn't get all of the cases. There's also another six things, and we learned those additional six things. Today, it turns out that Rabbi Yossi also has another six things, not Rabbi Yehuda's six things. He has his list of Shisha Dvarim that are not Muskam on everyone, that there are another Shisha Dvarim that are Kulei Beit Shammai and Chumrei Beit Hillel. And whenever we see a mission like that, we know that we're going to have a cornucopia of great variety of all types of different halachas, which even double your pleasure, double your fun. And therefore, let's start from the beginning. What is the din of chicken or poultry in general when it comes to basar b'cholof? So we know that we have yet to find a chicken that has a mommy. And therefore, as far as the milk is concerned, it'd be pretty difficult to cook that chicken in its mother's milk, which seems to say quite clearly that according to the Torah, a chicken will not be usher in milk. However, we know that the Rabbanon ushered that. Now, the question is, how far did that isser go? So we know that when it comes to actual meat and milk, the din is that they're not usser just because you put them together in a sandwich. There is no isser d'oraita whatsoever to have a nice piece of salami together with a cheese. No problem at all. The only problem would arise if you actually toasted it. So then you would be cooking the cheese, which it says, lo tevashel gedi b'chalevimo. So there you'd be cooking the cheese and the salami together. That would be an isser in and of itself, the cooking. And the eating of that cooking, we learn out, is also usser because of the repetition three times of lo tevashel gedi b'chalevimo. So now, if we're going to usser chicken and milk, I mean, like, are we going to make gezeiras, Are we going to say you can't even have a cold chicken and cheese sandwich? Or are we going to say you can't cook chicken in milk? Or you can't eat chicken cooked in milk, maybe. So what would be the Rabbanan's willingness to take this gezeira? How far do you want to go? So it turns out that you're not allowed to even eat chicken with cheese without bishul. Okay, that we know, but Farish, we learned that out in Chulin in the Mishnah. And the question over here is, when it comes to meat and milk, you're not allowed to have them on the same table, unless, of course, you have a little cloth underneath or something that indicates that this is a separate place, a placemat or something. When it comes to chicken, Beit Shammai says that there was never a gezerah on putting it all on the same table. Ha'of oleh im agvina l'shulchan, even though you're not allowed to eat it. So Beit Shammai says, we're not worried about having it together. The reason that the Rabbanan assert having the meat and the milk on the table is because, look, you know, there might be a hot platter, hot enough to actually cook, and you'll have something fall in, or somebody not realizing that it was still hot. He'll put some cheese in it. So, okay, so because of that, we assert even having it on the table, even if it's cold stuff. But over here, if you had a chicken in a serving platter that was boiling hot, and you put cheese on it, it would still not be an Isser D'oraisa at all. It would only be a D'rabbanan. So to Aser, even having it on the same table, because maybe you'll come to end up doing that, that's a Gezerah L'Gezerah, says Beit Shammai. We're not going to Aser that. So therefore, it would be Mutter to have it all on the same table. Beit Hillel Omrim, no. They treated it exactly the same as they treated meat. It cannot be Ola on the same table, because not because I'm worried about the gzer that you may end up actually putting some cheese into your chicken casserole. The reason that it's us is because if we allow this, then somebody may actually do the same thing and bring up meat with cheese together. So it's directly nogea the diraisa, and therefore we answered all types of things that people see as being a type of meat, which doesn't affect fish perhaps, but certainly affects the chicken. Okay, next. Second issue is the question of what is considered to be min almino. Now, we know that you can't use one min to be terem or take off maizras for another min, right? It has to be min alminai. And if you used a different min, let's say, instead of taking, as it says in the Torah, dagan min agoren, how about if you took a seorim for chitim, and so on. Fine, so there it would not be a kosher truma or miser. Now, the question is, how far does that extend? You've got olives, and you've got olive oil. Are olive and olive oil the same thing? You have grapes, and you have wine. Is that the same thing? Can you take off the truma from one form of it or the other? So, according to Beit Shammai, Tormim zeitim al shemen ve'anavim al yayin. It's all the same. And therefore, if you're taking off truma, you can take off truma, as long as they're both chayiv, obviously, in the same truma as a maizras. You can take off all of the truma from either the shemen or all of the truma from the zeitim. It doesn't matter, because there's all one thing. Masha enkein, Beit Hillel omrim, you cannot do that lechatchila. Because since it says v'nechshav lechem trumatchem kidagan min agoren uchayin min hayekev, that means that if you've got something that was worked on, like something in the yekev, or you've been threshing it and it's in the goren, then you have to have that part separately. So that means whatever you threshed is taken off for that which was threshed. Whatever you pressed is taken off for that which is pressed. And that means that the different forms of the product are considered to be different meaning. And you can't take off one from the other. Next machlokas, according to Rabbi Yossi. This is the shaila of what is the level of pentugdash in kloy hakerem. So we know that kloy hakerem is a reference to a mixture of a vineyard, a kerem, not of a particular vine. So a particular vine has a halacha like kelayim. You have to keep it 6 tvachim away from something else. But if you have a vineyard, and that's what we're going to be arguing about over here today, if you have a vineyard, you've got to keep 4 amos away. And there's another big difference. And that is, if part of the vineyard was within 4 amos of the iser that you planted, the type of things that you weren't allowed to plant, you planted within 4 amos, the whole vineyard becomes usser, because it's the kerem that the Torah speaks about. So even if particular plants in that, particular vines, I should say, in that vineyard were further than 4 amos, doesn't make any difference because it's a din on the kerem as a whole. Now, that makes it very important for us to define precisely what that vineyard was. So suppose you've got 2 rows of vines. One of them is within 4 amos, and one of them is beyond. It's outside of 4 amos. Now, this revolves around the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where everybody agrees that a vineyard has to have a minimum of 5 vines. The question is, do you need to have 2 rows in which you have shnayim keneged shnayim and echad yotzei zonav? So you've got one additional vine that's sticking out, and you have 2 rows. But if you have a long row of 5 or even 100 vines, a vineyard is not a row. A vineyard is a particular construct. That's what Beit Hillel says. Now, that leads to a surprising inversion of Chumrah and Kula in a particular case. Because suppose you were planting within 4 amas of a row of vines. Now, according to Beit Shammai, a row of vines is a vineyard in and of its own. If you have another row behind that row, which is further than 4 amas, that's a different vineyard, according to Beit Shammai, if it has 5 vines in it, right? So then that would mean that only the first row is usher, because that is the definition of a vineyard. And if you want to usher the next vineyard, it would have to also be within 4 amas of whatever it is that ushers it. Masha Einkein, according to Beit Hillel, the moment that the outside row is within 4 amas, the whole thing becomes usher because it's all one vineyard, since he holds that the minimum of the vineyard anyway is 2 rows, and the shear is the harchok of 4 amas from the outside of the vineyard. So it turns out that in that particular case, Beit Hillel is l'chumra and Beit Shammai is l'kula. So, I mean, that is really a case where you could have set up the case differently, and then Beit Shammai would have been the chumra, where it was only one row, and Beit Hillel would be l'kula. And he would say, well, no, you need to be within 6 tvachim, not 4 amas. That's true. But since, as we set up the case, it's Beit Shammai, l'kula, and Beit Hillel, l'chumra, Reb Yossi includes it also. Now let's move on to the next question that Reb Yossi learns is a machlokas where we have a kula. Okay, now we're talking about bagels. Now the question is, you want a bagel and lox breakfast. Do you take off challah from the bagels? So what is that? That is dough that is boiled. You pour in the flour into boiling hot water. So that is called a mi'isa. Mi'isa, you pour flour directly into boiling water. It ends up becoming very thick, and then you bake it. And now you've got yourself a boiled, baked bagel. So Beit Shammai says, look, since this was boiled, before it was ever baked. If you bake it, that doesn't turn it into pas. And because of that, the Torah was never mechayev you to take off challah from bagels. Whereas Beit Hillel are mechayev him. They say as long as it is baked in the end, that's considered also to be lechem, and you're chayev to take off reishis from the lechem ha'aretz. And now, yet another machlokas, according to Rabbi Yossi, number 5. What is the din of putting a tameh fork into a running stream that is heading down a hill? Now, that's called a chardalit, as you will recall from our limud in Tyrus. And the chardalit is going from the top of a mountain down to the bottom of the mountain. And at the bottom of the mountain, there is standing water, which would be kosher for a mikveh if it were arba'im sa'ah, but there's not arba'im sa'ah. There's only arba'im sa'ah if I include the water that is running down the mountain. So at the bottom of the mountain, let's say you've got 20 sa'ah, added to that the constant flow of water that's going into it, you've got 40 sa'ah. And obviously it's not deep enough for you to get into, because then it would have arba'im sa'ah b'makom echad. But you've got a little fork that you want to put into it. Can you put that fork somewhere in the stream running down the mountain? According to Beit Shammai, yes, you can. We're mitzarif the chardalit to the mikveh at the bottom, despite the fact that there's no one place where you have water that is standing and you're utilizing zochalim, which in general is also for a mikveh. But in this case, the zochalim are attached to the mikveh that is omed at the bottom, and therefore Beit Shammai is mekel. You're allowed to be tevel your fork. Whereas Beis Hillel omrim, you cannot be matpil in the chardalit unless you have a full arba'im sa'ah. Then you have a kosher mikveh, and then anything that's mechuber to that mikveh is considered to be within that mikveh. Next and final case. What would be the din of a ger who becomes a ger, getting his bris milah, finally he's gone through the whole rabbanut shtick, they've ready to make him a ger, all he needs now is a brit milah. It's Erev Pesach, and he's very anxious to be able to eat his first Pesach. Ki yagur itchem ger. Ah, wow, says he. Kol yamai, I was waiting for this moment. Now I'm ready to bring my first Karban Pesach, right? So here it is, a ger shen etgayer arve Pesachim. Beit Shammai says, okay, he needs only to do his tefillah, he already got his bris milah, get into the mikvah, and go and eat your Karban Pesach on that very night. No problem. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you have a din of a tamei meis, and you're going to need to go through a hazaya shlishi v'shevi. Oh my God, this is a disaster. I won't be able to get to my Karban Pesach because haporesh min ha'orla, you got yourself a bris milah today. That is the same as being porish min ha'kever. Now, it doesn't really mean min ha'orla, obviously. A Jew who gets a bris milah is not tamei. It means someone who is porish from the concept of arelos, of which is the idea of ha'plishti ha'arelos. That's the making yourself into a Jew is as if you have come out of the grave. And just like when you come out of the grave, you would require a hazaya. And this, of course, destroys the whole Last Supper idea. So anyway, so if you come out of the grave, you would require hazaya shlishi v'shvi. So why does he say that? I mean, there's not really such a halacha. So what's the reason for this? It's clearly only a gezeirah derabbanan. What is the reason to make this gezeirah? It's very simple. This is a brand new Jew who is deeply registering everything that happened to him. Wow, I needed to go to the mikveh. What about if in the morning of the day that he got that bris milah, he had buried someone to get some experience in being part of the Chevra Kadisha, you know. So they let him come in, even though he hadn't finished his Geirus yet. Okay, can he eat from the Korban Pesach? Well, he was a goy at the time that he was practicing his Chevra Kadisha stuff, and therefore a goy cannot become a Tamei Meis. So he got his bris, and he went to the mikvah, and now he's a full Jew. He goes in and he eats his Korban Pesach. Now, the next year, think of how much that meant to him. The next year, he does the same thing. And he's called by the Chevra Kadisha, to which he's been a loyal member the whole year. This guy is going all the way, let me tell you. And it's Erev Pesach. He was with the Chevra Kadisha, buried a mace. He says, just like last year, I did this last year, and the Beis Din told me all I need to do is go to the mikveh, and I can eat my Korban Pesach. I'll do the same thing. I know I need to go to the mikveh because I got tamei. He goes to the mikveh, and he eats his Korban Pesach, and he's a tamei meis. So therefore, in order to make it clear that you don't make that error, and if you touch a meis, you're going to need to go to the shlishi v'shvi, we make every
mistake, a very grave mistake.
Error. So, in this case, to avoid that type of situation, we made it a din on any person who was a goy, that he is called Porish Min HaOrla, Ke Porish Min HaKever. Wow. Okay, lovely. So, we've got a potential, so far, of the 23, plus the additional 6 of Rabbi Yehuda, which is 29, plus an additional 6 over here of Yossi, which gives us a 38. Oh my gosh, we're really, really getting up there in the number of possible machlokasin. Alrighty then, we'll have
the
some.
Has the word raven, that's significant. Something that comes down.
Yeah, of course it's significant. It's only where it's flowing downhill.
So it's the raid is part of the word. It must be part of the
That's
meaning.
Very possible, yeah. I mean, it's the Pashto says that it's a word that means it's dalit from the har. It's flowing down off of a mountain, har dalit. Became a har dalit, you know? Yeah. So question.
According to Beit Hillel, is that true? Is it Ger? Anytime that he becomes before Pesach?
Anytime.
I see.
That way we avoid this problem. So we'll always perish ben akefer. Very far-fetched gezerah, you would say. But it gives an added level of kedusha, obviously. There's a difference between the purpose and the mechanism. So we're talking about the mechanism. Now the question is, what happens to tour guides who are perish ben akefer? That's a different question. Coming from a place like Rome, do they require hazoya shlishi v'shvi? I don't really know if you were in Rome this time. But welcome home. Okay, Rabosai. We'll see you Bezrat Hashem Yisbarach. See you tomorrow amidst much celebration. And Besorah Tovah. Kol Tov.